Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are chatting with Steve Penny, founder and publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. And as always, Steve has shared with us a handful of charts that we will be posting below this interview. Steve, I really do appreciate your commentary to all your subscribers, very much diving into the charts and then also getting into some of the stocks you like. So we will be posting a link below this interview so people can learn a bit more about the Silver Chartist Report as well as follow along with some of your free commentary. Let's get right into some of these charts then, starting off with the US dollar. There is no denying that last year, 2021, was a good year for the US dollar. All the dollar bears, which can be quite loud at times, really had it thrown in their face as the dollar moved higher and then broke some key resistance, which you have outlined in this first chart that is now support, right at this 94.65 level. The dollar peaked not that long ago, right around 97, has pulled back a little bit, but has not broken that key 94.65 line. Steve, what's your expectation here? Is this just, I guess, the start of a more prolonged breakout above this key level?
Well, I think the short answer is that remains to be seen. But from a technical perspective, yeah, we have broken out. The dollar is now in an uptrend in all time frames. And the key level we're watching right now is 94.65. That was major resistance on the way up. We broke through that. And for the last month or two, I've been looking for a back test of that 94.65 level. Well, we got that this week. The low this week was actually 94.63. So we backtested that level perfectly. Now, if that support holds, I think there's a decent chance we go up and make one more higher high in the dollar. And that would obviously be a headwind for the metals and the commodity sector as a whole. However, if this 94.65 level gives way, then we could look for potentially more downside in the dollar. So I hate to kind of speak out of both sides of my mouth there, but it really is an if-then statement, and it all centers around how this 94.65 level, whether it holds as support or it fails.
Well, Steve, just concerning the dollar, yes, if it weakened, it would be good for the commodity complex, but I'd like to just get your thoughts on how it may affect gold. We always hear that they're inversely correlated, but they're really not a great percentage of the time. I think it's only 55% of the time. So could there be an environment where the dollar and gold both go up together in 2022 as a safe haven bid?
Absolutely. We saw that in, I believe, 2004 to 2008 when gold rallied. I think it rallied right alongside the dollar, if memory serves correct. But there's plenty of historical precedent for the dollar and gold to rally in unison. However, like I said, I think of it as kind of like a headwind and a tailwind. You can still move forward with a headwind, just like the metals can move higher with a rising dollar. It just, you know, you have the wind at your back if the dollar is downtrending. And it's important for your listeners to remember, and I think most people know this, but you know, the dollar, all it is a fiat currency measured against other fiat currencies, which are all losing purchasing power. So really what you're measuring is what's losing purchasing power faster than the others. So even if the dollar is losing purchasing power at a slower pace than other fiat currencies, it's going to give the impression of strength.
Absolutely. And one other thing to consider too is just how heavily weighted this dollar is against the euro as well. But then, Steve, in terms of that recent run that the dollar went on really most of last year, especially after that pullback in the March, April, May timeframe, what do you think drove this move higher in the dollar? What were some of the key factors?
Yeah, the debt markets and the metals markets are both very forward-looking, especially the debt markets. So I think they had correctly anticipated Fed tightening and the talk of raising interest rates. So I think they properly anticipated that while most investors were saying, oh, they can never taper, they can never raise rates. I think they're actually going to try. I don't think they're going to complete this rate hike cycle that they're talking about. But I think that's probably why the dollar rallied in advance of that.
Well, Steve, we also sent over a chart to us of the S&P 500 and the general markets. And it goes back to really, it looks like the great financial crisis coming out of that 2008, 2009, big period of disarray in the capital markets. There is no doubt that the general markets have been on a 12-year run almost without any breaks on it. And it really coincided with when the Federal Reserve started its emergency, quote unquote, accommodative bond purchasing, which now they're finally tapering and going to start a rate hiking cycle. Do you see there being any correlation between that time period of QE and on this chart where it looks to be that the S&P has dipped below the trend line?
Absolutely, 100%. And a lot of people have correctly been calling for a blow off top in general equities. And I was not one of those people calling for that, but I got to give credit where credit is due. But to me, this looks like the blow off top. So those who have been waiting for that, I'd say here it is. I don't think it lies in the future. I think we're here right now. So while upside does remain in stocks, I think it's minimal relative to the downside risk. You know, there's a saying, be careful about picking up pennies in front of the oncoming train or something like that. That's kind of how I think about general equities right now. Could they go higher? Sure. But there's a lot of downside risk here. And from a fundamental basis, I don't think the stock market's really ever been more overvalued. And it's also technically stretched as well. So caution is warranted in general equities for sure.
So what would a pullback or a correction look like to you there, Steve? Because in all fairness, people make comments about just how overvalued these markets are, and then they tie it in with a comment saying these markets are going to crash. We're going straight down. Do you think it'll be that extreme?
Well, eventually, yes, eventually that's going to happen. I mean, we live in a boom-bust cycle, and crashes are just part of it. However, trying to time those quote-unquote crashes is nearly impossible. I personally try and avoid that language. Not that I don't think there's going to be a crash, but when you use these emotional terms as an investor and trader, it can cause you to make emotional decisions, and we don't want to do that. So I like to use terms like sharp pullback or correction. And I do think we're due for a pullback towards the 200-day moving average, and that currently sits, you know, another around 10-15% below where we are now. I don't know exactly, but I think we're due for about another 10-15% pullback from current levels. Now, whether this little pullback we're seeing now is the start of that or not remains to be seen. But, you know, a 10 to 20% pullback in stocks is in order, probably in 2022.
Well, Steve, to that point, you sent over a shorter duration chart of the S&P 500 on the SPX, and it does look like it's in this potential consolidation triangle where it goes out to the apex maybe around April. And that would, again, time up pretty closely with when the rate hiking cycle starts. I don't know if that's just happen chance or if it just looks to be that way because of the technicals on this chart. But what do you make of the shorter duration S&P chart that you sent over?
Yeah, so that triangle is a bearish rising wedge. And that would indicate that if that lower green support gives way, then you're probably going to fall back towards that 200-day moving average. And right now we're sitting right at that support line. So if the current levels fail, we could see a sharper pullback. And then you've got the more important rising trend line that I look to short on tests of this line. I like to swing trade for, you know, just, you know, 5 to 10 day holds. That's not for everybody. That's what I personally like to do. If we break through the top of that triangle pattern, I'm looking for a retest of that primary resistance line, which is up around probably 4,900 right now on S&P.
So if we do get some sort of a correction, whether it's 10%, whether it's 20%, let's take out that whole maybe 50 or 60% almost crash scenario, because you're right, it's hard to predict those. And quite frankly, it's a loser's game if you try to invest around that and time that sort of a correction. But if we do have what would be considered a relatively normal correction, 10 to 20%, where do you think that money rotates to?
Yes. And that's why I brought up this chart of the S&P 500, is because as precious metals investors, as commodity investors, what we want to see is silver and gold begin to outperform general equities, because we need to suck in some of that generalist money, some of that institutional money who's chasing performance. They don't care about the principles of honest money and all that. They just want performance. So if we see gold start to outperform the stock market, that's going to suck in some of those bigger institutional monies and funds. And that's what we need to see. And if you look at a chart of the Dow versus gold, or I should say gold versus the Dow, it looks like gold is just trying to break out again above some key resistance levels on that Dow gold chart. So that's one I'm watching closely.
So then, Steve, I understand that next chart that you just brought up there, that gold to Dow ratio, and how gold, it's not just gold, it's commodities broadly that have underperformed the markets. But do you think that, as you said, everyone's looking where money's rotating to? They're looking for some sort of momentum. And we did have some momentum, some nice momentum in gold, in base metals, but still the markets performed quite well. Are there any other sectors outside of gold or precious metals where money could rotate into? Because look, I have been hearing time and time again over this last 12-year period that commodities are undervalued. Money needs to rotate in. However, it seems like when money has rotated in, it's also been in the environment where everything else is moving higher.
Yeah, that's a good, really good question. I do track a lot of other sectors, and you can't find anything that's as undervalued as commodities right now. You just can't. There's some sectors I do watch. I like water, although it's, you know, it's not on sale or anything. It's not like on the discount rack. But, you know, that's a sector I watch. I would love to see a big general market sell-off and be able to scoop up some water stocks on sale. But I can't really think of anything that's just beaten down and undervalued right now as a value investor other than commodities.
Well, that's a good suggestion. There are some of the very wealthiest billionaires looking at the water industry. They're buying up most of it, unfortunately, but it is a good investment, as is farmland. I guess, Steve, we could say that the clean energy stocks are pretty beat down, as are the cannabis stocks. I think the cannabis stocks are actually down more than the precious metals. And you did bring up the commodity sector, though. I know one commodity you track that's an energy metal is uranium. And uranium's had quite a last couple of years. But let's walk through the first chart you sent over just on the spot price of uranium. What are you looking at there?
Yeah, so we broke out above that uptrend channel that began in 2016, earlier in 2021. And I'd been saying once we break out above that channel, 45 became my initial target. Well, we blew through 45 and went up to a high of $50.80 in uranium. And since then, we've been consolidating in this triangle pattern. And that triangle pattern looks like it's about to resolve here anytime now. We're sitting right at the apex. And my bias is up. And the recent high is $50.80 in spot uranium. I think once we get through that, the intermediate term target becomes $73. And, you know, that would be almost a 50% rise in the spot price of uranium. But if uranium goes from 50 to 73, you can just imagine what some of these equities would do. So I do still think there's a lot of upside in the uranium sector, even though we have had a really nice move in 2021.
Now we can tie this into the next chart too, which is the uranium stocks using the global uranium mining ETF, URNM. The stocks have been running. You could make the argument that the stocks have drastically outperformed the underlying uranium price, which is different than a lot of other commodities. And quite frankly, stocks usually can lead a metal higher. So how much are these stock moves, just how strong the stocks have been, also contributing to that more bullish outlook for uranium broadly?
Yeah, it's certainly bullish that the stocks have been leading, which is a welcome change because the metal itself, uranium, bottomed in 2016 and began trending higher, but the stocks continued to trend lower for a few years. So what we're seeing, I think, is a reversion to the mean. So I don't see that as cause for concern. Because a lot of people say, well, the stocks are getting ahead of themselves. Well, I take a different take. I think it's just that they're a mean reversion right now. And I still think they're cheap. And I think they're probably going higher. Now, we're sitting at a critical juncture here from a technical perspective. A lot of stocks look like this URNM ETF, where they're sitting right at the lower rail of a very well-defined uptrend channel with the 200-day moving average just beneath. So if that lower rail fails, I would look for support at the 200-day moving average. And then if that fails, then, you know, we could be in for a deeper correction. But at this point, I don't anticipate that. I think that 200-day is more likely than not to hold. And we may have to carve out just a little bit more of a base here, but I think we're at a very attractive entry points for longer-term investors.
Well, Steve, I was going to ask you about that chart you sent over on the more shorter duration, just that most of the mining stocks in the uranium sector have pulled back. They have found support. They have started gaining traction. But we've seen a confluence of polarized opinions come out, like we always do in any market. But there's a lot of people that think we just saw the peak at the end of last year for uranium stocks for a while, and that they're going to correct for a long period of time. And the other camp is saying this is a normal pullback after such a big move, and it probably has a lot further to go. Based on what you said about where you thought the uranium price could head up to 73, are you in that latter camp?
I am, yes. Yeah, I'm bullish in all time frames right now. However, if that 200-day moving average fails, you know, I'm not dogmatic in my opinion. I adjust my forecast when new data comes in. So if that 200-day were to fail on big volume, that could indicate we need just a little bit more time. But I think with the fundamental backdrop and the technical setup, my bias is to the upside right now over the short term.
So when it comes to the underlying stocks, how are you playing this uranium run? Are you sticking to the ETF? Are you driving down into what still is a relatively small world of uranium stocks, especially pure play uranium stocks? And if you're driving down in the stocks, do you like the couple of producers and developers, or do you like the exploration plays?
Yeah, I like to say if I could only pick one ticker, it would be the URNM ETF. I think you could do just fine holding that ETF. However, I prefer a basket of mining stocks, and there are some of these explorers that have plenty of upside potential, but they're risky as well. So I prefer either producers or near-term producers. I feel like those present the most favorable risk-reward setup for my personal risk tolerance.
So then, Steve, as we've started the year here, and we can touch on any market that you want, what has surprised you the most about some of this volatility we've seen just in the first now 2 weeks of trading in 2022?
Well, nothing's really surprised me the first 2 weeks, but I guess over the past 6, 7, 8 months has been the monetary metals' lackluster response to this rising inflation data. And just this past week, we got the 2021 inflation data just over 7% here in the U.S., and that was a multi-decade high. This was quite encouraging that for the first time in a while, the metals responded positively to higher inflation data, where in 2021, we'd get this high inflation data and the metals would sell off. And I think that's because the market was anticipating Fed getting ahead of inflation. Well, I think perhaps we're seeing some early signs that the market is recognizing that the Fed is trapped and they're not going to be able to get ahead of inflation, even if they do squeeze in some nominal interest rate hikes.
Can you elaborate on that? What in the market is showing you that the market is saying that the Fed's trapped? Because in all fairness, it's not the monetary metals, because gold really hasn't done much and the gold stocks continue to trend near some possible breakdown levels.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was this week on January 11th when the inflation data came out and gold was up over 1% and silver was up over 1.5% on the release of that data. Now it's just one day and it's just one data point. But in 2021, almost every single time that high inflation data came out, the metals sold off, where this time they rallied. So that could be an early sign here. Again, early sign, but it's an encouraging sign to watch.
Okay. Thank you for elaborating on that a little bit more. Steve, as I mentioned, really appreciate your work. Really appreciate your charting too. So that link to the Silver Chartist Report will be posted below and we'll be chatting with you in another couple weeks. So have a great weekend there, Steve. And thank you again for the update.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.